It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the Gospel of John, John chapter 3. We're going to begin reading with the third verse today, John chapter 3, verse 3. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you can find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that you take time to check the website out. Got many messages, the Constitution, Plan of Salvation, something that if you have someone that's lost and you'd like to share the gospel with them, send them to that website, and they will be able to see very clearly audio or to read it either way concerning the Plan of Salvation and then the many studies that are there. So please, don't miss an opportunity to use that as a tool to win people to Christ and also for growth for yourself. It's all for the honor and glory of the Lord. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and begin the reading. John chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it comes, whether it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that goeth, that doeth truth, cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and they are wrought in God. What a wonderful reading of God's precious word. Let's please go to the Lord in prayer before we start the study. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can enjoy your precious word of God. Thank you that we have it in our hands and can use it, and please that we do not take it for granted, but we understand the blessedness of having the word of God and the opportunity we have to study it, to read it, to look at it, to enjoy it. Please, dear Lord, show us your way and will. Please, dear Lord, that you would bring folks to salvation, to the cross of Calvary where they can be saved. Please, dear Lord, show folks today that you must be born again. Help us to see that so clearly and not miss that. We thank you for this opportunity to share the gospel. We thank you for the opportunity to take the word of God and to grow. Oh, please, dear Lord, just show us your way and will. Strengthen us with your truth today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have gotten down to the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And we've looked at it took a couple of times now, and we've looked at the third verse here, and third, fourth, and fifth verse, where it tells us that you must be born again. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We've talked about the Word of God being the water. We've talked about the Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We've looked at that. And I don't want you to miss seeing how simple it is. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. We're going to look at that whosoever when we get that far. But do you question what this is saying? Do you say, what do you mean, be born again? Well, Nicodemus, being a very educated man, greatest teacher in all Israel as far as the Jews were concerned of that day, and yet he didn't understand it either. So you're in pretty good company if you don't understand when it says you must be born again. I hope after today that you'll understand what it means to be born again. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You know, to be born of the water is born of the Word of God. And Jesus tried to help Nicodemus to understand when he went to the sixth verse, and he says, born of the flesh is flesh. That which is earthly is earthly. What is fleshly is fleshly. But that which is born of the Spirit cannot be born except it be come from above. And so we need to understand that we must be, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Just believe. A lot of things in your life you don't understand, but you believe it. One of them is the example that the Scripture uses here is the wind. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the wind thereof, but you cannot tell where it comes or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. God sets forth the means of salvation. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary so that you can live. He died on that cross, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And Jesus, our Savior, my Savior, is at the right hand of the Father today. And please understand that he is very much alive. He destroyed death. He was the victor over death. And now if you'll just believe in him, the Son of God, Jesus, you can be saved. Be born again. If you'll just trust in him, the Spirit of God comes down, convicts your heart, and will save you. And so please that you be born again today. Believe. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life begins today. Today, immediately. Please trust in Jesus today. Do you understand the wind? You hear it. You see its destruction sometimes. You see what it does as the branches on the trees or the leaves in the tall grass wave back and forth. The grass is not waving back and forth. The trees are not moving and giving the sound that you hear as the wind blows through the trees with the leaves on. You see that. But you don't know where it comes from, nor do you where's that wind go? The tree isn't just shaking on its own. The leaves or the tall grass doesn't just wave on its own. It's because of the wind. And yet you don't know where it comes from or where it goes to. But you see, my friend, that's the thing that you need to understand is there's many things you don't understand. How does this earth continue to rotate? How does it continue to rotate in the manner it does? How does the gravity that we have stay the same? How does the earth, as it goes around the sun in our solar system, how does all this stay in place with the other planets, with the sun, with the moon, as the earth rotates, as we're rotating around the sun? How can that happen? How can it continue to go? Why doesn't it just stop? Because God put it into place. You have to believe that. Oh, you can try to believe the liberals that think that it was, created by some big bang theory, which still it has to be created. It can't come from nothing. To evolve to what we have is a ridiculous thought. Maybe that's where you think. You think, well, you're not going to tell me that my thinking is ridiculous because I believe in evolution. Oh, my stars, you talk about faith. You look back to the history. You look back to the facts. And all you have is faith. You're believing that those scientists that are telling you that lie are right. That takes real faith. I can't believe that. But I sure can believe in my God, because I did, and I'm born again, and I know it. You can have that same gift of salvation if you'll just come. The wind blows, you don't know where it comes from. You hear the sound of it, you don't know where it comes from. You still believe it. You know it exists. It's wind. You know it. And so please, please, trust in Jesus the same way. So is everyone that is born again. Are you going to understand it? No. Can I explain it to you? No, but I know it's real because I trusted in Jesus. I've become one of whosoever will. I believed. And if you would believe today, it'll be the same thing. So all you need to do is come to Jesus and trust in Him. That's all you need to do. And I ask that you do that today. Stop questioning. Stop trying to figure it out. When's the last time that you stood there and studied the tree as the wind was blowing it, trying to figure out where that wind's coming from or where it's going to? You don't. You accept it. My friend, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Believe in Him. Please that you do that. Now, let's look at the next thing here. Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Nicodemus can't understand it. He just can't get it. See, he's thinking with his head, not with his heart, not with the spirit that was, the his soul that needs to be saved, his heart that needs to be born again. He will not come. Jesus answered and said to him, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things?" The Word of God from the beginning, and we talked about this last week, that the bloodline, if you would go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, you'll find that the shedding of blood started there, and that blood that represented the killing of those animals for Adam and Eve, it started there, and it was a picture of the covering of sin all the way to the place where Jesus shed His blood on the cross. And from that time on till today, that shed blood is still taking away sin. So you see, it's the shedding of blood, and it started on Genesis chapter 3, verse 23. The promise was given in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And so if you look back at those verses of Scripture, you'll see what I'm talking about, and that precious blood is what it's all about. And that's the reason Jesus asked Nicodemus, "You're supposed to be such a scholar in the Jewish law. You're supposed to be such a master, a great teacher here. And yet, don't you understand these things?" Because that's what it's all about. But people miss it. They don't realize that the picture back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, as you look at that, let's go back there just for a minute. I want to read that for you. Genesis 3. 21. "And Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." You say, "Well, where's the blood?" Those animals had to die. Jesus died. That was a picture. It started right there. And back in Genesis 3:15 is the first gospel, telling us of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy heel, and thou shalt bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And that is a promise that there's going to be victory. Jesus will be the victor, is the victor, has been the victor. The battle's won. You need to come by faith to Jesus Christ and trust in Him. And so you see here that Jesus is asking Nicodemus something because he missed it. He missed the most important thing that was in the Word of God, and that is that the picture of the coming of the Messiah and what He was going to do and how it was going to take place. And so he says here, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness." That's talking about all the prophets. That's talking about the Word of God, all that Old Testament. Every bit of it was speaking of the Messiah, of the Lord Jesus, of his ability to come and to seek and to save those that are lost. And it continues, verse 12, if I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What beautiful verses of Scripture here. And we need to take a look at this and enjoy it. And so please, please, just trust in it today. You know, old Nicodemus here, he just really had a problem understanding this. And so Jesus just kept coming back and back. And again, he even, when verse 12 there, he says, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I have told you heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, I want to reread that again, because I didn't want you to miss that, because that's a beautiful, a very important statement and picture there, because Jesus bring something back. I have already taken you back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I've taken you back to Genesis 3:21, and now we're going to go back to Numbers 21:9 concerning this being lifted up with Moses. Let's go back here to Numbers now. You see, I love the Old Testament. A lot of people don't study the Old Testament. They don't realize how important it is. If you do not understand the Old Testament, you will never understand the New Testament. I can understand, I guess, why you're not born again. Because the New Testament and the Old Testament are so closely tied together, never will we be finished or do away with the Old Testament, because it is so complete and so necessary. Now, let's go, and we're going to look at Numbers chapter 21, and we're going to begin here with the fifth verse. The people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. Neither is there any water. And the soul loatheth the light bread. And God sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it up on a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon the pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And the children of Israel set forth and pitched Oboth. Now, I want you to see that what was happening here. It brought the people out of Egypt, and these people, the only thing they knew was to just murmur. I mean, there was always, you know, are you that way? I hope not. I hope that you're not that way, that constantly you're questioning and murmuring and complaining. Well, the people of Israel, God brought out from bondage. I mean, they were slaves in Egypt. God delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh, delivered them across the Red Sea, brought them to Sinai, has everything, and yet fed them, watered them, saw that their clothes did not deteriorate during a whole 40 years. Their shoes didn't wear out. What a wonderful, wonderful picture that God is giving to the nation of Israel here in his deliverance, and yet they still complain. Well, even through that complaining, he once again gives us a picture. And that same picture is what we just read over here in John chapter 3, verse 14. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So we have the connection there. And let's see again what they did. The Lord sent, they hated the food, they hated the water, they didn't want anything, and so they just continued to complain and complain and complain. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people died of Israel. See what happens when you murmur? Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned," okay, there's the first step, repentance, "the Lord against the Lord and against thee, pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." Now Moses made this serpent of brass, put it upon a pole. It came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he had beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. You see the picture? He holds this brass serpent up. Well, brass, of course, stands for judgment, and that's what sin is. And that's what Jesus did for us upon Calvary, because he was sin for us. So he was hung upon the pole. And what's that say down here in the 14th verse of John chapter 3? "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. There was no question that Jesus had to be hung upon a cross of Calvary to die. And Jesus is asking Nicodemus, don't you know that? Don't you remember that? That when you look up to that cross, you live? Look up to that brass serpent, you live? When you look up to the cross, you live? You believe that Jesus died for your sin? Please, trust in Jesus. I hope that you have studied the Old Testament. I love the book of Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. I love those. I they're wonderful. And when you look to the Word of God, if you really have studied the book of Leviticus, you look on to Hebrews in the New Testament, it'll all make all kinds of sense. It'll just be as clear as can be. But it's not going to be clear to you unless you trust in Jesus as your Savior. Because, you see, it begins there. It begins at the cross of Calvary. Numbers chapter 21, verses 5 through 9. I hope that you go back and read that later. Okay, now we find, once again, that Jesus here is telling Nicodemus, "You're a master? Art thou a master of Israel? Knowest not these things? Don't you understand them? Don't you understand? We have looked at things that have taken place. Don't you understand them? I hope that you see, I hope that you understand that Jesus died for you. I hope that you understand that you must be born again." And then it comes here, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but that he came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." You see, we need to understand that Jesus came from glory down here, lived, died, rose again, went back home. You understand the picture in Moses' day? Verse 15, "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." My friend, you must be born again. Born of water, born of the Word and of the Spirit. It's very simple. Go to the Word of God, enjoy the Word of God. I hope today that you're looking at this and enjoying it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You can't miss that one. That is the greatest, clearest part of the gospel in all the Word of God. "For God so loved the world, not just certain folks." If you're some of those people that believe that only a certain few have been chosen to be saved, that's a lie. "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," you see, it's so clear right there. There's no question what needs to take place. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," should not be lost. You lose, my friend. Not lost, but have everlasting life. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world." A lot of people thought he was coming to be king and to rule and to reign. Well, that's going to come. But first he come to save. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth is not condemned. So if you believe not, you are condemned already. You see how that works? You see how that is? It's so clear, it's so simple, you can't miss it. You can't miss it there. I want you to see that. I want you to understand clearly about this. He that believeth not is condemned already because, why? Because I haven't joined a church. Because I haven't been baptized. It doesn't say that at all, does it? No, what it says is, he that believeth not, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This condemnation, that light has come into the world, Jesus is that light. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For every man that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and they are wrought in God. Let's back up here again. You can't miss this. If you've missed this all of your religious life, maybe you've not been religious. Maybe you've just stayed away from the church. You've never did that kind of thing. Well, my friend, you need to be born again. And yes, you need to find a church, a Bible-believing, soul-winning church that'll preach the truth and stand on the Word of God and not veer from it. You need that. But first, you need to be born again. You need to be born again. Don't connect baptism with it. Don't do that, please. Baptism's not what it's all about. You need to be born again. You need to be baptized by the Spirit. You need to be immersed in the Spirit, but it's got nothing to do with that physical baptism. Baptism is important, but only after you're born again. And it's got not connected, not a requirement. Not a requirement. What's it say right here? Does it say be baptized? No. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What's that got to say about baptism? It says believe. Let's go back to verse 16, yeah, even verse 15. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting light. It does not get any clearer than that, my friend. You've got to trust in Jesus as your Savior. You have got to look to the cross of Calvary, just like they did with Moses when they were bitten by the serpent. You've been bitten by that old serpent. You've got sin. And the only way you're going to live is you look up to the cross. Because Jesus died there for you. And if you'll come, and if you'll believe, you'll be saved. It's just that simple. Be born again. The scripture says, you must be born again. Born of the water and of the Spirit. It's very clear. It's very simple. And yet most of the world has missed it. Most of it. I hope that you see that. I hope that you understand. We've got many verses of scripture that we're going to go to the next time we get together. We're going to go to Ezekiel. We're going to go to back into John, a couple areas, the 6th chapter, the 8th chapter, 2 Corinthians 5, 19 through 18 and 19, 1 John 2, 2, 1 John 4, 4. Oh, there's just so many verses of Scripture that we're going to look at, we're going to enjoy, and I want you to come back again with us, and we're going to start with the 16th verse, and we're going to look at that once again, for God so loved the world. Jesus has questioned to Nicodemus, don't you understand? And so my question to you, don't you understand? Don't you understand? It is so important that you understand what the Word of God is saying. Not what man say, not what some church says, but what the Word of God says. That's what's important. That's what you need to look at and study and trust is the Word of God. So please, look to the Word of God today. Trust in Jesus today. You must be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, the most religious, smartest man of his day. And yet he didn't know. You must be born again. Where do you stand? My dear friend, you must be born again. What are you going to do about Jesus?